Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Living Life with Pastor Carolyn Henderson. This is your co-host this evening, Pastor Valerie Burrell, here online with our host, Pastor Carolyn. Let's give her a hand tonight for being with us. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for each of you being with us tonight as we continue this teaching. Amen. Amen. As we continue this teaching on prayer and the challenges of prayer, we thank you for each one of you who has joined the call line and for those in the chat room. It is our desire that as this broadcast goes forth in the weeks to come, that if you're hearing something that's blessing your life, we ask that you please share with your friends and family. Let them know that Pastor Carolyn will be here on Monday evenings at 8 o'clock p.m. With relevant teachings to help us live our best life according to that which the Lord has laid upon her heart. So again, tonight we're here, we're talking about the power of prayer. And as we closed on last week, we had a question from one of our callers regarding the requirements needed for specific prayer. So Pastor, if you want to open us up with prayer, and then we'll just go ahead and move forward with the questions. And if things are stated tonight, if you have questions, we ask that you just press 1, and we will be able to bring you live on the broadcast. Again, if you have any questions as we go forward with the teaching, press 1, and we can bring you live to address that. Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for tonight. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for those that are signing on right now. We bind the hand of the enemy. We, oh God, frustrate even his attack or his assignment tonight. Lord God, we ask that you would loose your word, loose your presence, loose your anointing. Father, you are the glory and the lifter of our head, and we've come to thank you tonight. Father, let every word be of you tonight like never before. We step out of ourselves, and we ask that you would take complete control. Father, use us for your glory, not for ours. And Father, we'll give your name the glory, the honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We said amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So I guess, Pastor, we'll go to that question that was posed to us right before we closed on last week regarding requirements. The question was posed to us, why is it necessary sometimes to go through specific requirements or even as the word would be used, as protocols that we have to attest to when we are asking for specific needs in prayer?
Yes, we were speaking of specific prayers and prayer petitions, and we also shared that you should be very specific in your prayers. One of the things that I found that sometimes when we are not specific, like you said, the lady with the, I think it was the blue PT Cruiser.
Yes,
that was our example. She asked for the PT Cruiser, but she got a toy PT Cruiser and not the actual PT Cruiser. And we were sharing that you have to be specific. We want a V8 engine. We want it to have 4 wheels. We want it to have automatic or clutch transmission or whatever you call it, 4-wheel drive or whatever. It's because so many times we are it's bad to say, but sometimes we copycat things that we hear other people say. And one of the things that I found is that when we pray, we have to know, or we have to have the kind of relationship where we will know if we are praying in the will of God or out of the will of God. And some of our petitions require a little bit more than just prayer. It's written in the Word of God that some things come through fasting and prayer. It also warns us not to be anxious for anything. And so many times we get anxious. We want something right now. I had to myself, I said, sometimes we become like people who throw God a petition and we want a rapid response for our petitions, and you just don't get rapid response. And sometimes, Pastor Valerie, it appears that we might not even receive an answer because maybe we are praying amiss, and amiss means that you're praying outside of the plans and the will and the destiny of God for your life. God knows what each one of us are made of. He knows how he can trust us and how he can allow us to have things. Prayer is it takes maturity. Prayer is not for the immature. Prayer is not for the faint-hearted. Prayer, you have to be, I believe, in a really steadfast relationship with the Lord, especially if you're an intercessor. Intercessors have to be very careful when they pray. We take prayer petitions and we pray for other people, and we want to make sure that even though we're praying the petitions of others, that we're still lining up with the will and the presence and the power of God. So we ask God for his will when we pray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ask him if it be your holy will, because we already knows that his word says he desires to give us the desires of our heart. He wants to bless us. He really does. But we also have to be mature enough to understand that sometimes we're not mature enough to handle what we're asking God for, and or it might not be in the plan right now because you wouldn't be able to handle, or we wouldn't be able to handle it if God gave it to us right now.
That's good. That's good, Pastor. You know, when you talked, especially about the intercessor, about how it requires a level of maturity, and I think people need to be keenly aware that even if you're not an intercessor, you have to have confidence in your relationship with God to know how to talk to him. You know, when you think about your relationships with people, be it family, friends, coworkers, or whatever the case may be, if there's something that you desire from them, you're going to talk to them a certain way in order to get what you want.
Absolutely.
From them.
Absolutely.
It has to be that same kind of way with your relationship with the Father, that if you're asking God to do a work for you, if you're asking God to bless you, if you understand who he is and you understand his promises for you and you are a student of the word, then when you go to him in conversation, because of the relationship that you have with him, your conversation will be such that he will honor your request.
Absolutely.
He tells us that when we come praying, believing that we receive that which we ask for, he wants to do it for us. But when we go to him and we're not really sure what the word says about what we can and cannot have, understanding the timing of when we can have and when we can't have, that's when it seems like you will have some interference in the receipt of what you're asking for.
Yeah. And one of the things we talked about was, why do we pray? Really, why do we pray? I mean, what does it profit us to pray? And the Word of God tells us that man should always pray and not faint. He said the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Jesus was our example because he was in constant communication, conversation with his Father. And this is how he knew the will of the Father for his life. Even when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and praying, he prayed and he said, Father, not my will, but let your will be done. And so many times we say, well, we prayed and we asked God and it didn't happen right now and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We have to remember that Jesus prayed that the cup would pass, but it didn't. And he came to the conclusion in maturity and understanding who he was and what he was assigned to do, that it really wasn't about his will, but it's about the will of the Father. And it says that the Father desires to give his children good gifts. However, if the gift is going to destroy us or hurt us, I believe that the Father protects us by not allowing us to have something that we have no clue what we're asking for. We're just asking for it.
We're just asking for it. Just because we in our feelings and we in our emotions and we feel that there's something tangible that we have need of, so we just start asking for it.
Right, right. But one of the things that I found out, Pastor, is that it says, why do we pray? We pray because we love God. Why do we pray? Because all of our source, all of our resources are in him. Everything that we need, everything that we have or will have, it comes from him. That's why he's Jehovah Jireh. Then it says we need to pray in order to resist temptation. If we don't pray, I heard a well-known apostle said, in other words, if there is not a praying church, then you need to stop what you're doing, because it should be a praying church first above all things. We come in church and some of us barely get there on time, and then we barely make it to prayer, and we barely stay in church and after the service. But we have so many things that we are asking God. And I am one, and this is from the book of Carolyn, I believe that you have to spend time with him, because anything that you love, you want to spend time with.
Amen. Amen.
And praying is spending time with someone that I love. I love God, so I love to spend time with him. Prior to us coming on the radio, on the broadcast tonight, you said I sounded I had a little thing going on. The devil was trying to create this atmosphere. But I have to press past that. And when you talk about how good God is, even when we're going through something, and I remember just saying, God, just help me before I even started, because you don't want to bring that kind of thing to somebody else, because
mm-hmm.
things can be transferred.
Amen.
Even in prayer, we can transfer stuff. So we have to be very, very careful of how we approach God, how we respond, and how we even act while we are in his presence. Because so many times, even in prayer, we have to be very watchful and very discerning, because the enemy will try to vex us even in prayer.
This is
why I believe that it's important to have focused prayer. Focused prayer means that you take a piece of paper and you jot down what you plan to commune with the Father about. Why is that necessary? It's just like a grocery list. You write a grocery list, or you write yourself a note, so you won't forget when you get to your destination what you have to pick up or what you really need. I believe the focused prayer list helps you to keep the needs of others that you're interceding for before you, so that you won't be all over the place. In this season, we really must know how to pray and what to pray for.
Amen.
We need to pray because it's necessary in order to have the presence of God and invite the presence of God. Prayer is necessary. It is a must-have. It's just like taking your daily medications. It's just like breathing.
Yes.
It's just like eating. It is a must-have. We have to have this, because if we don't have prayer, we don't have life. Because
Amen.
Prayer is life. Amen.
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 It is. I was looking at scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 16 to verses 20. And we see here where Paul wasn't just praying for
right.
the church of Ephesus.
Right.
But the prayers apply today just as they did the believers in Ephesus, because they were given by the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
So it still speaks to that. And that scripture in Ephesians 1:16-20 says, cease not, excuse me, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Yes.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you
yes.
may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Absolutely.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he
mm-hmm.
wrought in Christ when he raised
mm-hmm.
him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places.
Right.
So when we look at things like that, Pastor, we have actually addressed prayer and our conversation with God as if every conversation could be the very turning point in our life that we need
Absolutely.
To overcome whatever situation we're facing.
And the truth of the matter, it is what we need to overcome. It says that we pray because God commands us to pray. It's a continued earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving in Colossians 4:2. And it said, then he, Jesus, spoke in a parable to them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not lose
always.
Heart. Always pray and not lose heart. Because we can get, like you say, the enemy would try to make you lose heart right before a broadcast on prayer. He'll try to make you lose heart when you've even seen a miracle. God's performed a miracle before you, but he's bombarding us with all of the reasons not to pray. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I have to study. I've got to cook dinner. I've got to pick the children up. I don't feel good. I want to go to bed. But it says we ought to always pray. Ought to always. I haven't been properly dressed if I don't pray because
mm-hmm.
I'm not completely clothed. I feel naked. I feel empty. Sometimes if I do no more than lay and say, I just thank you. I just want to
mm-hmm.
thank you. With all of the things that are happening, physical attacks, financial attacks, marital attacks, jobs and marketplace assignments and ministry assignments. The enemy attacks in those areas so that he can weaken us in the area of prayer because we get too caught up in stuff and not the right stuff.
Amen.
We need to be caught up in doing what 2 Timothy told us, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, that we would rightly and righteously divide the word of truth. How do you righteously? The word of God will help us to know what we ought to speak to God.
Amen.
It helps us to align ourselves properly with the things we ought to pray for.
Amen.
It allows us to know that God has healed us from sickness and diseases. And yes, we might have some residue, but I'm still healed. I might be walking with a slight limp, or my leg might be irritated. But Father, I thank you because I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that my body is healed.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Sometimes we have the residue of stuff, but we still speak the word to it because what we speak out of our mouth is life. And the enemy knows if we speak the word, it said, there are three that bear record. the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
Yes.
Jesus is the living Word. He was the walking, living Word. So now we have him abiding on the inside of us.
Glory.
And we are supposed to be able to regurgitate back to him what his word says, because his word is supposed to be living on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful not to allow ourselves to get into a whiny, piney, woe is me moment, even though we had them. We had them because that's the humanity part. But maturity says, what did you say? We need to seek knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And we can only do that if we search the Word of God. And even then, it says, have somebody that you can touch and agree with. Somebody that might catch you when you have that moment, like I was having, and you said, you okay? I know immediately you went into warfare for me,
mm-hmm.
because
Amen.
We have to be able to have somebody strong when we are weak. And we can rely
Amen.
On one another. That's why it's so good to know that God is there for us no matter what. But we have to know how to approach him, like you said. We have to be very mindful of how we approach him. Are you just coming in and say, oh, Lord, I'm home, and thank you, I just need some bread. Have you thanked him?
Have you
loved on him?
Yeah.
Have you said how
yeah.
much I appreciate that you allowed me to travel the roads, and that car could have hit me, but it didn't, because
oh,
you
Jesus.
Were there. Something else could have happened, but it didn't, because you were there. We take too much credit for the things that God really do for us.
Has done
and,
for us.
And we
yeah.
And,
yeah.
yeah, and has done and continued to do.
Yeah.
And we own it when it's really not ours to own. It's him that has done it. Amen.
It's him. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I think, too, that one thing that we have to understand in our conversation with him, you know, when we're talking about why we pray and how we pray and how to get those prayers answered, you have to know that you have been given authority.
Yes,
you have
absolutely.
Been given authority. At Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Nothing.
And you say, huh? See, that's not what Valerie says. That's not what Pastor Carolyn is saying.
Absolutely.
That's what the Word is saying in King James Version, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Absolutely. And prayer is our preparation. It's the preparation time. If we are in constant prayer, we are always prepared. So when the attack comes, it might kind of throw us for a couple of seconds, but we rebrace ourselves. We pull ourselves together in prayer and say, God, help me. It said that Jesus prayed. He was our model of prayer. Even
yes.
when he was going through something, he still knew how to approach the Father. It said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you, according to Matthew 7:7. But we have to be careful how we ask, how we seek, and how we knock. It said we pray. Because our joy may be full. If you go to prayer and you don't receive a lift by the time you finish, something
Jesus.
Must be wrong. Something has got to kind of be off course. So you might want to put a self-check in there and do a self-check. Somebody said, how do you begin to pray? You begin to pray by giving him thanks. Because you just want to
yes.
talk to him. First of all, you got to remember, confession is good. Somewhere along the day
real
today,
yes.
it's a real good thing, because somebody vexed me earlier today, and I had to ask the Lord to really help me. I was irritated and I was vexed. However, I realized that the enemy is on his job. He is bombarding me with stuff, so I had to bombard him with prayer. You see, he would rather that we didn't pray. He would rather that we not seek God's face, and he would really, really like it if we didn't receive our answers.
Amen. That's true.
Maybe someone might have a question, Pastor Valerie. You think we need to chat with them?
Yeah, if there's anyone with a question or a comment, you can press 1 and we can bring you on the line. Amen.
Amen. I'm hoping that Dr. Crum will be on tonight. She said that she might be on tonight.
Amen.
Dr. Crum. Amen. We want to thank God for the opportunity.
Amen. We have a caller with first 3757, the last 43618. We're bringing you live.
Amen.
Good
Hello.
Evening. Thank you for joining us. Hello.
Hello.
The last three of your phone number, 3618, you're live.
Hi. This is Phyllis Crum. I'm sorry, I didn't unmute myself.
Hi, Dr. Crum.
Oh my goodness, I have so been enjoying your discussion on prayer. I mean, oh my goodness.
Amen.
I mean, what can you say? I think that the thing that really kind of hit me between the eyes, Pastor Crum, is when you mentioned about prayer being life. I mean, everything that you need, everything that you have to know, everything that needs to be provided comes through a conversation with God in prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, that really ministered to my heart, because that's exactly where it is, having a conversation with your Father who loves you and knows you and knows what you have need of and has, you know, it's the end from the beginning.
Absolutely.
And when you talked about you know, just being able to even be responsible for receiving the answers to your prayer. It might not be time yet, but you know, you have to be careful and trust God. That really ministered to me. Being patient and trusting Him with the way He's going to deliver the situation, the way He's going to answer it. That's just awesome. Thank you for ministering that.
Thank you, Dr. Crum. We are so excited because, you know, so many times Pastor Burrell and Dr. Crum, we have been traditionalized and denominationalized and fleshalized, if you could use that word.
Yeah.
We have given over into stuff and people, and we find that some of the stuff that we've been told and taught and practiced, it really wasn't good practice.
That's right. We
witnessed some prayers recently in our travel, Pastor Burrell and I, and we don't thank God for sickness.
Mm-hmm.
We thank God for the healing of the sickness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We the reality is, yes, I might have some affliction in my body, but I'm not thankful for the pain, but I'm thankful that I can still endure and go through and
Amen.
Live for the complete healing of my body.
So Amen.
we have to be careful, because when we say things, the devil is just waiting for it to drop from our lips. Because remember, when we speak that stuff, it becomes life.
And we want to come out of agreement with the enemy. We don't want to be in any form of agreement with the enemy that gives place to him or opens the door to him to afflict us or to confound our efforts in ministry or to confuse or to torment us. We want to come out of agreement. So those institutional, denominational, fleshly kinds of ways that we've been taught to pray, we really have to separate ourselves from. We have to come
Absolutely.
Out of agreement where it doesn't line up with God. And that's where leaving and cleaving from. I find that leaving and cleaving is not only relevant in marriage, but any covenant where you have to leave the old way and you have to embrace the new way. What is God's way? What is the way He wants to do things? And then put on the mind of Christ. Put on Christ. That's what the Word tells us.
Absolutely. I like that, Dr. Yeah. From the leave and cleave thing. Amen. We have to learn how to get better and not be bitter And so mm-hmm. many times we found ourselves praying in bitterness and did not even get better after we finished because we were so bitter while praying. And
mad at him about his decision how to answer the thing. So how do we expect to be able to receive anything from God? We're double-minded in all of our ways. We're mad at him, we obey him, then we don't obey him, and then we expect to be able to be rooted and grounded in his love when we don't even demonstrate love for him by our obedience. Obedience is God's love language.
That's right. And one thing I found out that when I was reading and I was studying, said, what is my purpose? I mean, why am I even going before God anyhow? Motives pure? I mean, why am I going to talk to him about something if I already got an issue with it?
Good gracious.
And so I need to get that thing straight. I need to get that foolishness straight before I go to him, because I can only imagine him sitting there looking at me, going like, "Really? Okay." And I'm going through all of these motions and sweating and snotting and crying, and it's just bumping me right back in the head because I got mess with me when I'm trying to approach him, and it reminds me of what it said. In the old time, when the priest went before God, he had to make sure that before he could enter into the holies of holies, that he had gotten all of that stuff straight. I don't need nobody to be dragging me out from the presence of God because I had some stuff with me going into his presence. And I think that's where we are, the church is today. We just come to God any old kind of way. And we just think that just because I'm the charge of the chief or the intercessors, or I hold up the rope at the gate, I have power. No, power comes through realizing that you are a hot mess and you really need to get the stuff straight before you call somebody else to get in the same position, thinking that what you're doing is right and it's really not wrong. And what God said, I would laugh at you in your calamity. I mean, you're just praying up a heat and sweating, and it's not going anywhere because I didn't love right. I didn't forgive right. I didn't even put a self-check on my own self. Because I had a reason to be upset with someone today, but I choose to walk away from that. And I said, God, you got this. Okay. I just don't want to even entertain the thought, because the enemy will do whatever he can to stop effective prayer.
Amen. God said that, you know, when we do come in his presence, he said your public pretense does not give you permission to come into his presence.
Absolutely. And I mean, with pretense, that's a dangerous thing. Dangerous for us to pretend that we're doing something that we're not. Because just think about somebody that may not be as strong as we are, or maybe even stronger than we are. They can probably see straight through that stuff and see that we're just making noise. Tinkling cymbals and sounding brass, just making noise. And we have to be so careful. It tells us that we need to be careful on our approach. Know what the Word of God says regarding the things that you are praying for.
Yes.
First, give me a clean heart. Renew a righteous, a holy, and a godly spirit in me. Father, if I've done anything wrong today, please let me see my wrong. Help me not to ignore it with my self-righteous self. You know, just because I didn't get hit by a cloud or something doesn't mean that it's okay.
Jesus.
Because if it puts a bitter taste in God's mouth, I'm out of order.
Yeah. Amen.
Pastor, Dr. Crum, y'all go ahead. Is there anybody else that have a question or has something they'd like to share?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Dr. Crum, you and Pastor Val?
I'm grateful, like you, Dr. Crum, for the dialogue, because I think that this is going to really be a turning point for some who have been praying according to traditionalism and all those other things where they have been caught. They have been boxed in. They have become frustrated because they were not seeing the manifestation of their conversations with God. And because of it, it was causing them to back away from God when God was like, no, I really need you to get closer to me. I really need to get you to learn of me. I need you to learn my word. I need you to crucify the flesh. I need you to just fast and pray and come before me and let me instruct you how to talk to me. The same way you want something from your husband and you know how to stroke his ego, God said, can you take time with me and stroke my ego and hear what I have to say to you? Give those things that you have need of. The word tells us that he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Yes, he will supply those things, but it requires that we have a relationship with him in order to get those needs met.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was sitting there today, and it just came to me again when I experienced this, whatever it was today. And I saw myself when I was driving home. You know how you see these little kids, little bitty kids, when their mom has scolded them and they sit down and all of a sudden they grab their parents around their ankle and the parent is trying to move and the child is just holding on to their legs and they're screaming, Mama, Daddy, Mama, Daddy, and they got tears rolling down their face, but they will not let their parents' leg go. They're going to hold on to that parent's leg. And I find myself there because I don't want him to let me go. Even in my moment of rage,
Jesus.
Even in my moment of being vexed, when I came to myself, I found out that I needed to hold on to him because if I didn't, gonna be in a mess.
Lord knows.
And I'm telling you, I cannot make it without prayer. I just cannot. I have to. I find myself waking up in the midnight hour praying. I find myself even in my sleep waking myself because I'm talking to him in tongues. I'm having this, Pastor Valerie, it's just like this brushing of the Spirit of God even in my sleep. I feel myself brushing me. I've even gotten up during the night and I can feel him brushing me. It's almost like he's nudging me. Are you going to get up? Or are you going to try to sleep? I'm trying to speak to you. Will you sacrifice this time? Will you really forget about you got to get up at 6? Will you sacrifice the time and come on? I need you to just sit in my presence. Just let me talk. You don't have to talk. You let me talk. You've talked earlier. Now I need to talk. And we said, oh, he wants to talk at the most inconvenient times. That's what it's all about, because this is really not convenient. Because if it's convenient, then we make him a pimp.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
But that's powerful too, Pastor, because I think so many times people feel like when they're having prayer, when they're having that conversation with God, it's not a conversation until you hush and hear him.
Yes. You got to be quiet.
Wow.
You got to be quiet. I've seen, Pastor Varel, Dr. Crum, I've seen people laying in the floor, not saying anything. Just laying there. Sunday, I felt the need to lay in the floor. I said, but if I lay right there, I'm going to be in the way. But I wanted to just lay there. Sometimes I hear him say, come with me. Just come with me. He wants us to come with him.
Yeah.
Let nothing and nobody restrain us. Yeah. Because we look at the clock at 3:45 and say, I only got 2.5 more hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Lord, and he's saying, come with me. And you said, why now? He said, come with me. And it's because he wants to create that sacred space with you.
Yes.
That he that nobody else can give you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I love my husband. But it's that secret place. Now I understand what that song meant.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in that secret place.
Yes.
It's a secret
yes.
place that it's nothing like it. And it only comes through proper alignment and proper relationship.
Yes.
And I just want to tell the listeners, you can't throw him 15 minutes in the shower and 5 minutes combing your hair and the other 7 minutes driving like you're crazy down the expressway.
Jesus.
It's at 3 o'clock when he wakes you and said, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the sacrifice is.
Mm-hmm.
When you know mm-hmm. that you got to deal with crazy people, you're willing to get up at 2 o'clock and stay up until it's time
yes,
for you
Lord.
To take a shower because
yes,
he said,
Lord.
Come with me.
Yes, Lord.
Because there's a price to be paid, Dr. Crum, like you said. There's a price to this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a price in prayer. Seriously.
Yes.
And real intercessors know the price. Okay. It doesn't matter who doesn't want to do it. All we know is that it's time to pray. And
yes.
we need to pray.
Yes.
I found myself in a very, in a moment when I could do nothing but hold a person's head in my arm and say, God, you've got this.
Yeah.
You promised me. I could not utter one other word.
Yes.
But I walked away.
Glory.
Feeling that God knew and he was going to answer.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I might have black circles under my eyes because I got up at 3, but it's worth it.
Amen.
Just because somebody else got, it doesn't have to be me that get free. It's because somebody else gets free.
Amen.
It's because somebody else got healed.
Amen.
Because I say it so often, Dr. Crum, and I have to ask God to help me because I said, how can you call me to such a thing when I don't have everything, all of the physical strength? And he said, you're whole. But I got to believe that I'm whole.
That's right. Glory.
I got to believe. I got to believe that I'm okay. Because it's really not in the healings. It's really in the believing. Because the believing becomes real.
Yeah.
When you really believe it.
But didn't he say that his strength is perfected in us
in weakness? Yes.
So our job is to be weak and completely dependent and relying on him.
Absolutely.
So you're exactly in the perfect place to say, well, here am I, Lord, send me. When he was looking for someone to stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of someone who couldn't do with themselves. They couldn't do it themselves. They needed someone to stand in the gap to
absolutely.
Intercede and
absolutely.
Agree with God concerning that issue with them.
Absolutely.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Absolutely. It's a
well,
wonderful.
Pastor, we're down to a minute. Amen.
Oh, yeah, we are. Dr. Crum, we're down to a minute. Amen.
Amen.
Next week, Pastor Bell, we want to say that we have a friend of mine, Mrs. Vinning, that's coming to us. She's going to come, but we're going to continue the part 3 of prayer the week after. We had set it up with her to come next Monday, so she's going to be prepared to come to talk to us. I'm not sure of her topic, but she's a very educated woman. She's a lawyer, and she's a school teacher. She's a very sweet person, and I believe that our listeners will get something from what she has to say. You know, she asked today, what did she have to talk on? And Dr. Crum and Pastor, I told her, we are seeking to bring balance. That's what's living life.
Amen.
Pastor Henderson is all about. Pastor, I'm going to put it back in your hands because we are out of time.
Amen. Well, we do thank each of you for joining us this week. We pray that what you've heard has been a blessing to you. We ask that you let your family and friends know that we are on the air Monday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. with Pastor Carolyn and Living Life with Pastor Carolyn. If you have prayer petitions or if you desire to be a part of the prayer call, Pastor hosts that each night at 7 o'clock p.m. And I don't have the number in front of me, Pastor, if you want to give them that number.
Yes, it's 712-432-8399. 712-432-8399. Code 837034.
Amen. Again, thank you all so much for joining us this evening. We pray that you all have been as blessed as we have. Know that God loves you and we love you too. Until next week, we say God bless and good night.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Crum. Good night.
It was wonderful. God bless you.
God bless you.